And have you come for the skin man? Yes, I said. Have you seen him, or do you only know of him from the talk? If that's the case, we'll move on and say thank ye. Not a him, lad. Never think it. I only looked at her. Standing, she was almost tall enough to look into my eyes, although I sat on young Joe, a fine big horse. And it, she said, a monster from the deep cracks, as sure as you two serve the eld and the white. It may have been a man once, but no more. Yes, I've seen it, and seen its work. Sit where you are, never move, and you shall see its work too. Without waiting for any reply, she went through the open gate. In her white muslin, she was like a sloop running before the wind. I looked at Jamie. He shrugged and nodded. This was what we had come for, after all, and if the Engie had to wait a bit longer for help putting Smartoot back on the rails, so be it.
Ellen! She bawled.
Raised to full volume, it was like listening to a woman shouting into an electric megaphone.
Clemmy! Brianna! Bring food! Bring meat and bread and ale, the light, not the dark! Bring a table, and mind you don't forget the cloth! Send Fortuna to me now! Hie to it! Double quick!
With these orders delivered, she returned to us, delicately lifting her hem to keep it out of the alkali that puffed around the black boots she wore on her enormous feet. Lady Sai, we thank you for your offer of hospitality, but we really must...
You must eat, is what you must do, she said. We'll have it out here a roadside so your digestion will not be discomposed. For I know what stories they tell about us in Gilead, aye, so do we all.
Men tell the same about any women who dare to live on their own, I wot. It makes them doubt the worth of their hammers. We heard no stories about. She laughed, and her bosom heaved like the sea.
Polite of you, young gunny, aye, and very snick, but it's long since I was weaned. We'll not eat ye.
Her eyes, as black as her shoes, twinkled.
Although ye'd make a tasty snack, I think, one or both.
I am Everlyn of Serenity, the prioress, by the grace of God and the man Jesus.
Roland of Gilead, I said, and this is Jamie of Same.
Jamie bowed from his saddle. She curtsied to us again, this time dropping her head so that the wings of her silken hood closed briefly around her face like curtains. As she rose, a tiny woman glided through the open gate, or perhaps she was of normal size after all. Perhaps she only looked tiny next to Everlyn. Her robe was of rough gray cotton instead of white muslin. Her arms were crossed over her scant bosom, and her hands were buried deep in her sleeves. She wore no hood, but we could still only see half of her face. The other half was hidden beneath a thick swath of bandagement. She curtsied to us, then huddled in the considerable shade of her prioress.
Raise your head, Fortuna, and make your manners to these young gentlemen.
When at last she looked up, I saw why she had kept her head lowered. The bandages could not fully conceal the damage to her nose. On the right side, a good part of it was gone. Where it had been was only a raw, red channel.
Hile, she whispered, may your days be long upon the earth.
May you have twice the number, Jamie said, and I saw from the woeful glance she gave him with her one visible eye that she hoped this was not true.
Tell them what happened, Everlyn said. What you remember, Eniro, I know it isn't much.
Must I, mother?
Yes, she said, for they've come to end it.
Fortuna peered doubtfully at us, just a quick snatch of a glance, then back at Everlyn.
Can they? They look so young.
She realized that what she had said must sound impolite, and a flush colored the cheek we could see. She staggered a little on her feet, and Everlyn put an arm around her. It was clear that she had been badly hurt, and her body was still far from complete recovery. The blood that had run to her face had more important work to do in other parts of her body. chiefly beneath the bandage, I suppose, but given the voluminous robe she wore, it was impossible to tell where else she might have been wounded. They may still be a year or more from having to shave but once a week, but they're gunslingers, 40. If they can't set this cursed town right, then no one can. Besides, it will do you good. Horror's a worm that needs to be coughed out before it breeds. Now tell them. She told. As she did, other sisters of Serenity came out, two carrying a table, the others carrying food and drink to fill it. Better viands than any we'd had on Smaltoot by the look and the smell, yet by the time Fortuna had finished her short, terrible story, I was no longer hungry. Nor, by the look of him, was Jamie. It was dusk, a fortnight and a day gone. She and another, Dolores, had come out to close the gate and draw water for the evening chores. Fortuna was the one with the bucket, and so she was the one who lived. As Dolores began to swing the gate closed, a creature knocked it wide, grabbed her, and bit her head from her shoulders with its long jaws. Fortuna said that she saw it well, for the peddler's moon had just risen full in the sky. Taller than a man it was, with scales instead of skin, and a long tail that dragged behind it on the ground. Yellow eyes with slitted dark pupils glowed in its flat head. Its mouth was a trap filled with teeth, each as long as a man's hand. They dripped with Dolores's blood as it dropped her still twitching body on the cobbles of the courtyard and ran on its stubby legs toward the well where Fortuna stood. I turned to flee. It caught me, and I remember no more.
I do, Evelyn said grimly. I heard the screams and came running out with our gun. It's a great long thing with a bell at the end of the barrel. It's been loaded since time out of mind, but none of us has ever fired it. For all I knew, it could have blown up in my hands. But I saw it tearing at poor Forty's face, and then something else, too. When I did, I never thought of the risk. I never even thought that I might kill her, poor thing, as well as it, should the gun fire.
I wish you had killed me, Fortuna said. Oh, I wish you had.
She sat in one of the chairs that had been brought to the table, put her face in her hands, and began to weep. Her one remaining eye did, at least.
Never say so, Evelyn told her, and stroked her hair on the side of her head not covered by the bandagement. For 'tis blasphemy.
Did you hit it? I asked.
A little. Our old gun fires shot, and one of the pellets, or perhaps more than one, tore away some of the knobs and scales on its head. Black, tarry stuff flew up. We saw it later on the cobbles and sanded it over without touching it, for fear it might poison us right through our skin. The cherry thing dropped her, and I think it had almost made up its mind to come for me. So I pointed the gun at it, though a gun like that can only be fired once, then must be recharged down its throat with powder and shot. I told it to come on. Told it I'd wait until it was good and close so the shot wouldn't spread.